You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Have you ever watched an apocalyptic sci-fi movie and wondered, could any of this really happen? I'm Carrie Bechet, and on Hypothetical, we explore what-if questions two ways, through speculative science fiction and through insight from the world's most brilliant scientists. And spoiler alert, your favorite sci-fi movies aren't nearly as far-fetched as you may think. Time travel with me into our possible futures on Hypothetical. New episodes every Tuesday, available on all podcast apps. That's Hypothetical, Hyperthetical.
Several times a week, Laura will turn to me after we get into bed and say those six little words I've been waiting to hear all day. Can I read something to you? Once I've said yes, she reaches for an item from her very cluttered nightstand and proceeds to bring that book, blog post, poem, essay, or article to life with her voice. I hope you enjoy listening to her read as much as I do. Here's this week's selection from Laura's nightstand.
So, as Scott said, this is On My Nightstand, and I'm Laura Cathcart-Robbins. And today I am reading to you from How to Raise a Feminist Son, a memoir and manifesto by Sonora Jaw, who was just a guest a little while ago. You probably caught her episode, which is fascinating. And if you didn't catch her episode, definitely go back and listen. I'll tell you a little bit about Sonora. Sonora Jaw is an essayist, novelist, and professor of journalism at Seattle University. I keep forgetting that. She is an author of the memoir How to Raise a Feminist Son, Motherhood, Masculinity, and the Making of My Family, and the novel Foreign, which is also, that was published by Random House India in 2013. Her op-eds and essays have appeared in the New York Times, the Seattle Times, The Establishment, Dame, and in several anthologies. Her new novel, The Laughter, is forthcoming from Harpavia in early 2023. Sonora and I will each have books coming out in early 2023, and we're going to be on a writer's panel together in March of 2023 in Seattle. So that's exciting. Also exciting is her book, which I'm about to read to you from. This is actually from the prologue, and the prologue is titled How I Raised a Feminist in the Dark. And she's talking about going to the movies with her son. So we'll get into the story right after this message.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch. And organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Well, wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this, talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
The first film I watched with my son was when he was 1 year old, Babe, about a pig. The last movie I watched with him just before he left for college was Stardust Memories, starring Woody Allen, so also about a pig. My baby was weird at the movies. When I took him to watch Babe, I was a film critic in Bangalore and had to go weekly to the cinema to review Hollywood and other foreign films for the Times of India. I was also their chief of Metropolitan Bureau, a rising star in journalism. I had a husband, a home, friends. I found that I could have all these delicious things and also sneak some time in with my baby if I took him to the movies with me. Technically, I'd be at work, but I wouldn't be in the office. I'd be with my baby. I sat him in my lap and cradled him with my left arm while I took notes with my right hand. In the dark of the movie theater, I sniffed the top of his head. I did this for years after the new baby smell had faded. The best place to do that was at the movies. Always like that first time in Babe, he was too rapt to notice. His father and our friends had warned me against taking my baby to the movies. "It's not healthy," they said. "He will get addicted to the movies." I could think of nothing better. "He will cry. It's a nuisance for other viewers," they said. My baby sat wide-eyed, quiet as a mouse the whole time. I still remember the back of his neck, erect in the way that babies manage to keep their wobbly necks erect, even when they are taking in their world. What did he see on the screen that made him so mesmerized? The pig being adopted by the sheep? The farmer's troubles? The politeness of the child pig when he talks to the lady sheep? The hope in the film, the despair, the triumph of the pig who is the outsider at the dog show. Nothing? "Ba-ram you, ba-ram you, to your breed, your fleece, your clan be true." On a recent Mother's Day, some 20 years after that screening of Babe, my now strong-necked boy wrote me a letter on Facebook Messenger. This is often his last resort on the day when mailing cards from college is not an option. The letter was brief, and within that brevity was this: "And perhaps best of all, I learned how to appreciate and critique art through all the time we spent together watching TV and movies on the big screen and on our various couches, pointing out plot holes, ridiculing the stupidity of different characters and laughing. These are probably the fondest memories of my childhood. They'll always be with me, that I may rely on them in those times when I fear I am alone, or I feel life is too lonely or boring or painful to persevere through." I never want him to feel that life is too lonely, but I do want him to know loneliness. It helps grow that muscle called empathy. It has him pick up the phone when I call him after sending the desperate text, "Just watch Beatrice at dinner. I'm crying." It has him listen. It has him say, "I cried like that at I, Daniel Blake. That movie broke my heart." May voices of young men all over America and India and Ireland and Saudi Arabia and Nigeria rise up together in a big thunderous chant, "Something broke my heart." At Babe, and for the movies that came fast and faithfully in our life together thereafter, for as long as I could, I sat him on my lap and let my heart beat against his tiny back as I bobbed him gently on my knee. My heart grew strong. His back grew steady. When he was old enough to sit in the seat beside me, I'd lean over for popcorn and sniff his head. His father got a job in Singapore. I resigned from my rising star and Indian journalism role and followed him with our baby. The three of us went to the movies together then, but something was wrong. For one, I had no job. For another, my husband was having the time of his life, doing well in his career, traveling a lot, going to parties, to which I was oddly never invited. I grew listless. I was prescribed antidepressants. My little boy cried at the movies. Yes, his father and I shouldn't have smuggled him into the Devil's Advocate, where he was miserable because he was hot. In Titanic, he was anxious, frantic. Is the ship going to sink, Mama? Will they all drown? No, I said, and walked out with him and waited for his father in the lobby. For a few years, in my son's imagination, those people on the RMS Titanic arrived at their destinations just fine and went on to live long lives. When my boy learned later in the books that the ship did indeed sink and those people did, in fact, drown, he never questioned me about why I lied. Movies had, by then, become these joyrides where not just disbelief, but all of the dysfunctions of the truth, too, were suspended. The next few years of his childhood would see my son move with me to the United States, watch his parents get divorced, and witness his mother being taken into trauma surgery after a car crash from which he escaped unhurt. He and I would survive life's uncertain times time and time again and head into movie after movie, having already reimagined and recast something as colossal as the fate of the Titanic. I now assemble the detritus of our small lives and reimagine how my boy and I would live and who we would be thereafter. I worked on a PhD, then got a job as a journalism professor in Seattle and moved there to build a life for him and me, whatever we were, because I still didn't imagine we were a family. We developed a ritual. Anytime we travel, we go and watch a movie in that town. It was one way of exploring that town, he said, through its film-going spaces. It was just his way of getting to the movies, no matter what. And although I did not voice this to him, I knew that it was his way of finding something routine, normal, familiar, no matter where on that map he found himself, as his parents' worlds fell apart. In our everyday life, we had worries. At the movies, we had wonder. When we would visit my family in India, the trauma of the past would land on me afresh in the form of physical violence from my brother or harsh words from my mother. We still had movies, starring the dreamy Shah Rukh Khan. In India, our movies had intermissions in which you ate samosas. It hadn't taught my boy Hindi, so I had to whisper rapid translations into his ear as the movie played. I love her, Shah Rukh Khan said in the Kabhi Khushi Kabhi Gham. She is not from our class or any caste, but I love her, and you will not humiliate her, he declared with delicious melodrama to his father, and left home to build a life where his wife would be respected. My boy nodded in the shadows. I believe he could tell that the movies were his mother's heartbeat. It was also where I felt safe and my feet felt steady. Back in Seattle, his friend's parents would take their kids to lake houses, or at least fishing at the lake. They'd take them to ski resorts in the winter and go canoeing in the summer. They'd take them camping. Being in nature is vital to a child's growth, they said. And yes, you can grow a feminist in the great outdoors. I also tried to go camping, to be in nature. I went sledding. But I'd had polio as a child and crushed my ankle in a car crash as an adult, so my damaged legs slowed everyone else down. At the movies, I was strong. On the way home, Gibran was chatty. When the sullen years of adolescence came, he still leaned in with wide eyes at the movies. So we met there, the best of him and the best of me. To your breed, your fleece, your clan be true. My boy saw happy at the movies. Perhaps happy isn't the right word. He saw me give myself over. As the world outside confused me and I took him along for the ride in my confusion, the world inside in the dark was the one in which we placed our trust. Tell me a story. I am here. Take me away from my story for a while. For years, I'd look over at him when we were at the movies, and Gibran would look back, nod, or smile. Yes, Mama, we're here. We're both still here.
Hey, great episode, honey. And now I want to welcome all of our new Patreon members.
Yes, welcome. And I still get a lot of people who don't really understand what Patreon is.
All right, we'll break it down for them.
Thank you. I will. I'll break it down quickly, though. When you join our Patreon, you get all kinds of access and bonus content and special opportunities. And your monthly fee, which is small, helps us to keep bringing you all these incredible stories like the one you just heard.
Right on. We hope you're all enjoying the monthly storytelling video series that we're releasing and our Zoom hangs. Please come hang with us. Yeah. Monthly memberships start at just $5.
Per month? Like, what costs $5 a month anymore?
Nothing. Right? And you get all of this, and you're helping support us. So, and while we love seeing you all in our Zoom hangs, we're going to be trying something new, a new way to connect over the next few months. It's called Voxing.
I love myself a good Vox. Uh-huh. But that's V-O-X, right? Not B-O-X.
You got it. Voxing.
Yes. Uh-huh. V is in victory. That's a great idea, hon.
Right on. Thank you, honey. And so which of our patrons are we shouting out today?
Well, first up is Mercedes Cusick, LMFT.
Right on. Right. Mercedes.
Mercedes.
Yep.
She's a licensed trauma therapist and is a certified EMDR therapist. And this means that Mercedes has had advanced training in complex and developmental trauma. So don't tune out. I'm going to tell you what that means.
Mm-hmm. This is some pretty advanced stuff.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
She's doing something really special. It's called EMDR Intensives. And EMDR stands for Eye Movement Desensitization and Reprocessing. So simply by stimulating both sides of the brain, it helps heal the brain and desensitizes traumatic or upsetting memories. I did EMDR when I was dealing with some childhood trauma. And let me tell you, I was actually stunned by the results.
Oh, wow. Thank you for all that, honey. Mm. This is something that everyone can benefit from. Maybe like Laura, you've experienced a disturbing or traumatic event in your life. It could be a car accident, work-related events, sexual assault, crime-related traumas, traumatic medical procedures. Maybe you've had a severe injury, childhood bullying, military combat, or emotional abuse.
Yeah, and if you've experienced any of those things, but like so many busy people, you just don't have time for traditional EMDR, then Mercedes' individualized concierge curated program is for you. The intensive range from half a day to several days, but they're the equivalent of, get this, 2 to 6 months of weekly therapy.
Wow, that's incredible. I feel really lucky that we get to promote this.
Yeah, me too.
I also want to add that because I think it's important that there is no need to talk extensively about these disturbing experiences. And because the intensive format decreases treatment time, it also saves you a considerable amount of money in the long run.
Yeah, that's facts right there. So if you want to start feeling better now, and what do I always say? Why wouldn't you?
Why wouldn't you?
Then EMDR intensives are the way to go. And California residents, click the link in our show notes and find the link to Mercedes Cusick's website and book your EMDR intensive today. That's Mercedes Cusick, LMFT, licensed trauma therapist. She's located in Woodland Hills, California. See our show notes for the website. But you, I just want to also say you can do this virtually if you're in the state of California. You don't have to go to her offices in Woodland Hills. So any California resident, click on that website and go see Mercedes.
All right. That's www.mercedescusick.com.
Thanks, hon.
You're welcome. Honey, so what's new with How to Do the Pot podcast?
I'm glad you asked, because it's Ellen Scanlon, and we love Ellen.
We do love Ellen.
She's one of our favorite previous guests.
Yep.
And as you know, she has the How to Do the Pot podcast, which is such a great name.
It is.
Right? And it's all about demystifying cannabis for women. Recently, they released their new Sleep 101 series. Every woman I know could use this. In these short episodes, real women share how cannabis helps women fall asleep, stay asleep, and not wake up with a weed hangover.
Right. And weed is something I feel so many people have old ideas about.
Right. Totally. I mean, we're not talking about the shoebox full of seeds and stems that your uncle had under his bed. On regular episodes of the How to Do the Pot podcast, every week you can listen to fun, short episodes that answer all the questions that women secretly Google about cannabis. How to Do the Pot shares women's personal stories and advice from experts to help with solutions around stress, sleep, sex, and chronic pain, with the goal of helping women feel more confident about their choices about cannabis.
How enlightening.
Right? Mm-hmm. And if you're ready for practical advice about weed for women, by women, by women for women, rather. Listen to How to Do the Pot wherever you get your podcasts.
Right on. Hey, next up is Cute Booty Lounge.
Yay.
Yeah, Cute Booty's a concept born in Kelly's garage in 2004. She was looking to make pants that embrace a woman's curves.
Yes.
Particularly what?
The booty.
Right on.
Yes.
But that was the pants that were still polished enough to wear out and about. Her, mm-hmm. her signature is her patented scrunch booty pockets.
Yep.
Cute Booty Lounge is made by women and for women right here in the USA. The company is incredible, female and minority owned. Go to cutebooty.com in our show notes and order yours today. And honey, what do people always say when you're wearing those leggings?
Cute booty.
Very cool. Right on. And we want to continue to shout out Kathleen Hahn.
Kathleen.
Yep. She is one of the ones that is really just supporting the show every month.
OG.
Yep.
And from the beginning.
Honey, I talk to her every now and then, and she is listening to the shows.
Mm-hmm.
Getting a lot out of it. She's a super fan.
She's a super fan.
Yep. And she has a lot of adventures in front of her. And I hope I get permission to tell everybody what she's up to at some point.
Well, maybe she can tell everybody when she joins our Zoom hang
next
month. Yeah,
bring it on, Kathleen Hahn. Yeah.
And then, honey, we have Brent Shaw.
I know. This is so cool.
Right. So, Brent, if you follow us on Instagram, you've seen Brent's work. He manages our Instagram for The Only One
and
in the
Room.
And
he does a fantastic job at it.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. We're about to hit. What about it? 40?
We're close to 40,000.
Damn.
Yeah, that's pretty remarkable.
Go ahead, Brent. But Brent started his own podcast called the Student Performance Podcast.
Right on.
Performance Podcast. Did I say that right?
The Student Performance Podcast. The Student Performance Podcast.
Right.
Yep.
And tell them what it is, honey.
Well, in these episodes, Brent likes to dive deep into the science of concepts that people may never have known about that would have an impact on your well-being as a student.
Yes.
Things like exercise, meditation, sleep, nutrition, cold exposure, all of which will not only transform your life in the classroom, but help you live a more fulfilled life outside of it as well.
That's dope. And, you know, everybody should be a student of some kind, right? If
yeah.
you're a student of life or a student in the classroom. I don't know about that cold exposure thing, Brent. We're going to have to listen and talk about that.
A little research on that. Laura's not big into the cold.
I'm not big into the cold, but we appreciate you and wish you all the luck with this podcast.
It's called the Student Performance Podcast.
It'll be in our show notes. And thank you guys for listening all the way to the end. On My Nightstand is a special segment of the Only One in the Room podcast. Today's episode was produced by Scott Slaughter, who I call Hun, and executively produced by Christina Barcy, who we call Barcy. Thank you for listening to The Only One in the Room. Please join us each Tuesday and Sunday for an incredible, brand new Only One interview, and every Friday for On My Nightstand, where I'll be reading from something that I love. If you have an Only One in the Room story or a piece of writing that you'd like to share, please submit it to theonlyonepod@gmail.com. From all of us at The Only One in the Room, we wish you dopeness, health, and prosperity.
Hello, friends. This is Mark Nell, executive producer of the Table Read podcast, where imagination meets performance. As we wrap up an incredible season one, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you who tuned in and supported us on this amazing journey. Season one was nothing short of extraordinary. We delved into captivating scripts that transported us to worlds beyond our imagination, thanks to the brilliant writers who delivered these works. But what really brought these stories to life were the talents of our amazing actors. But wait, the excitement doesn't end there. As we bid farewell to season one, we are thrilled to announce the launch of season two. Get ready for more gripping narratives, more unforgettable characters, and more mesmerizing performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We have some big surprises coming. The Force will definitely be with you. So stay tuned, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay excited. From all of us at the Table Read Podcast, thank you. And let's make season two even more memorable together.